School PR professionals spend a week or two each year networking, if they're lucky. We pour into this professional development, and the conversations drive us in our work. Collaboration is one of the best parts of our job, but then we go back to our daily work and the buzz of bright conversations and innovation starts to wear off.
Welcome to School PR Happy Hour. We seek to create a shared space of collaboration and an opportunity to continue those conversations long after the closing sessions of our state and national conferences.
We are a community of communicators that lean on each other in hard times and learn from each other regularly.
This podcast is about just that, getting to know each other better and sharing our passions about furthering education, one story at a time.
Hey friends, welcome to another episode of School PR Happy Hour. My name is Justin Deering, and I'm a communication strategist for CISO Communications. Today's episode is the first in a series we plan to bring you this season, where we go outside the world of school PR and talk to leaders in other industries. Through those conversations, we hope we can find things to steal or borrow to bring back to school PR. Today, we are talking to my friend Travis Brown. Travis is a content creator on Instagram who has seen massive growth over the past few months, and it's 100% content and strategy driven. Travis will share his views on workflow, storytelling, and producing value-added content for your audience. On the back half of the show, we will bring in a school PR professional to discuss the takeaways from the interview. Today's PR pro is no stranger to the show. Adam Harris will be joining me to share his ideas that he grabbed while listening to the interview. We hope you enjoy this episode on what school PR can learn from Instagram content creators.
Hello, this is Dr. Jill from Class Intercom, and we're honored to once again be the official sponsor of School PR Happy Hour. I spent 30 years in education as a teacher and administrator, so I know the challenges schools face when it comes to social media. Class Intercom makes approvals, moderation, reporting, and archiving easy. With our support, schools and districts are able to champion student voice and tell impactful stories that engage their communities. To learn more, contact Jill at classintercom.com or visit classintercom.com.
We have a special guest in-house today who is not a school PR professional, but when we were planning this school year, we decided that we really wanted to talk to people outside of the industry and try to gain some valuable knowledge from people who aren't worried about the, you know, everyday reputation of your school, crisis communications, like the real, some real school marketing stuff. And today I have Travis Brown in. Travis, I've been following you forever, I think, since the early days of your Instagram account. Now, you know, the last couple of months you've exploded. I want to say thanks first and foremost for, you know, being a supporter of podcasting and teaching people how to podcast early in your career and now moving into social. But just thanks for being here and thanks for sharing your expertise with us today. So go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your story, about where people can find you and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I'm Travis, and it's funny to be on a school podcast because I did so poorly in school, and now I'm actually an educator. So it's funny, you never know which direction you're going to go, but I'm an audio engineer by trade, which put me right into the podcasting industry. I wanted to help entrepreneurs, coaches, everyday people launch and monetize their own podcast. So I've been doing that for about a decade, which led me to creating Poddex, which is just simply a fun chat pack of cards that sparks conversation, whether you're on a date, whether you're on a podcast, whether you're on a live. And then, of course, that opened me up to helping people, you know, grow themselves as experts and grow their personal brand using social media. So my platform of choice is Instagram. So you could find me at Travis Brown. It's pretty much the only platform I'm on. And I'm dedicated to just helping everybody shine using their own knowledge, using their own passions, and putting themselves out into the world in what I think is the best opportunity around to reach the entire globe through a little piece of glass, which is your phone in your hand. So I think it's a really great opportunity for all people, but especially educators, to be able to make an impact, because that's why we do this. It's not for the money. It's not for the accolades. It's that we want to create an impact in the world, and there's a butterfly effect to that. So if we impact one person a day, we end up reaching massive audiences, and it's a very fulfilling mission.
You know, when we talk about school PR and kind of the job that I do, and that we do on a daily basis, I've always used the analogy of like an emergency account, like you think your bank. So I'm telling good stories every day, trying to tell the great things that are going on campus so that when my front tire explodes on the car, air quoting, we've got enough money in the bank to pay for that one, you know, reputation and good stories, that one story is not going to knock us down. Or when all four tires explode, which happened, you know, March 2020 when COVID hit, schools had to really readjust everything. And that's all about content. And that's about finding stories and finding, you know, things that resonate with your audience. And I'll tell you, every day when I get on Instagram, I know I'm going to get content from you.
Yeah.
It feels like every day, one of my first little stories is always Travis. I'm like, what's he talking about today? So talk to me a little bit about, you know, your thoughts on consistency, on coming up with those ideas, and like, what does your workflow look like as you're producing a massive amount of content?
Yeah. So consistency is a very difficult word for me, because there's some really good things with consistency, but oftentimes it gets twisted into something that causes a lot of anxiety. So first, let me say, when it comes to consistency, there's no magic bullet for what you, quote, should be doing. It's only what you can consistently keep up with long term. So I see a lot of people crash and burn because they say, I'm going to make content every day. I'm going to put something out every day. And then at some point, something happens where the train just completely comes off the track. So when I first started off, I just committed to every other day. I'm like, I'm going to create a post every other day because I can consistently keep up with that. It's similar to any other routine, right? If you went to the gym and you go to the gym 20 times a week, eventually you're not going to go to the gym anymore. So you have to pick something that works for you. My personal, and I'm glad you mentioned storytelling, because I'm very, very interested in studying to become a better storyteller, because for thousands of years, we've sat around the campfire to share recipes and to share how not to be eaten by the lion. And storytelling is a big part of podcasting. It's a big part of music. It's a big part of content, which is we transfer information by stories. So my personal formula is that I'm always documenting ideas. Okay. So I may have an idea for, I might be watching TV and see a documentary about McDonald's and their little game they had on the cups. I forget what it was called, the Monopoly game, right?
Yeah.
And so I'll see that and I go, what a great idea. How could I take that concept and apply it to something that my audience would be interested in? So I will try to bridge the gap. So I might not know what the idea is right away, but I have what's called an idea orphanage, where I'll just write down McDonald's Monopoly and I'll stick it in my orphanage. And then when I'm thinking about making content, I can go through all of these concepts that I've curated over time and say, ooh, I got a good one for this. And I can tell a story about how the McDonald's Monopoly game can be applied to a podcast, right? You could put secret words or phrases into your podcast, and then your listeners can collect them to win a prize, right? So it's all about always capturing your ideas, because a lot of people say they come up with an idea and they go, oh, that's stupid, no one will like that. You have to constantly curate them. So I have this giant list that I look at, which allows me to then create something that I'm excited about in the moment. And when you create content, your energy transfers through the camera to the person, okay? And this is a big thing that I think is underrated, is the energy you bring, right? So I look at the idea I'm most energetic about, and then I will create content around that, because I'm gonna naturally bring an essence to that. So what it takes is I find an idea, I will write a loose script. And what I mean by that is I'm not going to say every word exactly as I've written it, but I need some type of framework to keep me on track. Because when you show up to look at me on Instagram, you're giving me your time, and your time is very valuable. And I know that. So I want to make sure that I'm honoring your time. And I will write a script, and then I do something called shooting for the edit, which is where I will shoot the video, not to get it all perfect in one take, but rather to say phrases and connect them together to make the final piece of content. Now, I think a lot of people don't make content because they think they have to do it perfectly in one take. It's really hard to do. And if you've ever watched a TV show or a movie, they do multiple takes, multiple scenes. It's not just them doing it perfectly right out of the gate. So that's the first part of my process. And then the second part is just simply editing that. And by shooting for the edit, I can just clip out what I want, put it all together, export it, and then put it out for the world to hopefully enjoy. And the last bit that I'll share with you is with content, I think that if you make something that you love, that people will naturally be more magnetized to you. But if you try to make something that you think people will like, you will constantly be disappointed because of the expectation you've set. So I do this with everything. Art, I make the art I want to hang on my wall. Music, I make the music I want to listen to in my car. And content, I make the content that I would want to see in the world.
I think a couple things I want to say from what you just said was the energy. Is that's one thing I noticed about you is you come in hot with your content. Like you're excited. As soon as you start, you know, you're using that first couple seconds to hook me in to make sure I stick around. That's obviously a tactic and a strategy that anyone creating content can hold on to. But consistency is a big thing with us, with school districts, because there is so much going on every day that we could post 8, 10, 12 times a day.
Yeah.
But at the same time, is it stories that resonate, or are we proud of the story, or do we hope everyone else is proud of it? And there's a lot of difference right there. So I think those are key things that you just pointed out there.
I just want to tap into the hook portion. I think the beginning of most content is the most important, right? If we can't get someone to watch 3 seconds, they're not going to watch the rest. So even if we tell them the meaning of life, if that first 3 seconds doesn't get them to stop and stare, we don't get to give them our message. So it's something to think about. And a really quick way that you can do this is just to do a little research on what's working. I love to go to YouTube and just type in a keyword and see what the top videos are and see what their little title card says. Typically, that's a good thing to say in the beginning of the video. So if you are going to focus on, and this is just my brain now is racing, thinking about your school and focusing on that, is, you know, a great hook for that would be like, meet Tom. Tom is a, you know, special needs saxophone player. And he, you know, and then so it's like you get to meet this person and start to go through a journey with them. So, you know, be thoughtful about the beginning of your video, because it's really, you know, if you're podcasting, if you're doing video, if you're doing anything, that first moment, you know, is really important. That's why they do a previously on your favorite TV show, is to catch you back up, to get you looped back into the story. So make sure that you're always thinking about, will this first 3 seconds give some type of indication of what I'm going to show them? And will it make them stop and stare at what's about to happen?
You know, a lot of your content, obviously you have your, you know, this is your business, this is what you do, but I do notice a lot of the content you share, and I think there is some nuggets in here for school stuff, for school people. You give a lot of your best content away for free.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I can go to your Instagram right now. I bet I can find 10 possible business ideas that I should probably be doing on the side.
Yes.
But what's your thoughts behind giving a little bit away for free as you're building this structure? Because I think in schools, we have an opportunity to, as simple as a back to school checklist.
Yep.
Hey, here's a back to school checklist on what you need. Your kid's a kindergartner. Oh, here's a kindergarten checklist. This is completely different. Bring tissues. So what's your thought process behind the way you deliver content for free, and why do you do that?
Yeah. So it's really about, you know, I think that there's too much stuff that's hidden away, and there's too many coaches and consultants and gurus and people that are like, they'll give you a little bit, but you got to pay to get the rest. And so my thought process has always been, I have all this information, I have all these ideas, and if I keep them hidden, then it's a selfish act. I'm not really making an impact. So my thought process is, I'm going to give you all the information. I'm going to try to get your mind to make a change that what's possible for you. So for example, a business idea, my goal is really to make as many people their first $1,000. It has nothing to do with paying me, but it has to do with unlocking someone's potential or their view of their own potential. So I'm going to give you all the information and hopefully make you that first $1,000. And then when you're into the next stage of your business, whether you're scaling or you want more ideas, you're more likely to come to me in the future and find out if I have something to invest in, like a coaching program or a course or something. So it's all about I don't really like the word authority because I'm sort of anti-authority in my life, but it's all about creating this expectation of being a person of value, being an educator of value. And if people see that you give them valuable things without any ask, then you're more likely to have people continue to come back to see what's next. And then once they're at a different stage in their journey, they might come back to buy from you. Now with schools, you know, schools are something that I'm a parent, so I'm very in tune with what schools are doing. You know, different schools have different reputations and people move into areas specifically to go to schools based on those reputations, right? Now there's state ratings, but there's also just word of mouth parents talk, right? So if you have the opportunity to tell people as much that's going to help the parents get the maximum value for their students' time, then parents are going to want to get in your area to put your kids in those schools. So being a parent's hard enough, right? But having those checklists or having the best practices or having the information that's going to allow your child to get the most out of that experience is what parents want. So I think it's a big opportunity to, especially for schools and educators, to give parents, the gatekeeper, more information to maximize that experience. And also, I love to get to know the people that are educating my child. The more I know about them, the more comfortable I feel, the more questions I can ask my child and have conversations with them. So as an educator, putting yourself out there, whether it be social media or any other aspect, you're creating a relationship with the parents, which makes them feel super comfortable and super confident in the school that they've selected to send their child to.
And that's one focus that we have this year on the show is we really want to help. We've been doing the administration side. So we've been talking top level communications people, but the principals, teachers, all the way down to the front desk folks at the school, each play such a key point in that reputation and that story of the campus. I want to find ways to help teachers be better at social media. Cause it's like, it's Oz. You're pulling back the curtain. Here's what's going on in your classroom.
Yep.
And that's needed right now. Hey, we are doing great things right now. We're learning great things. We're teaching great things. Kids are thriving. So that's a goal of mine. And there's stuff that I'll be honest, there's stuff you've posted that I've saved and been like, this works in education. I'm going to show some teachers when we have conferences with them. So, So with that, I mean, we talked a little bit about storytelling. You said you want to study storytelling to get a little bit better, but I really do feel like even through your info, it's very informational. It's very like step by step. Here's what you can do to make that $1,000. Here's how you can build your podcast and make it better. But there's an art of storytelling in that as well.
You mentioned storytelling, which I think it's a big part of my life. I used to be a touring musician, and writing songs is telling stories. Every good song is a good story. And then that led me to podcasting. And I think every good podcast has some type of story element to it, which made me get interested in like what makes a great story, and which has led me to the content creation that I do now. And my hope with that is two things. When I tell a story, I either hope that person takes notes and actually starts to apply that, or they tell the story to someone else, right? Because stories transfer. And I don't care if I'm telling you how to start that business or you're telling your friend, hey, I saw this video and he said, do this, this, and this. It's still the same impact, right? And those are my two goals, is to get somebody excited and say, you know, just like a teacher, right? A teacher wants to go into a classroom and unlock their students and get them to see what's possible for themselves. It's the same thing with content creation. I want to show people that there is something inside of them that is possible. I don't have a marketing degree. I don't have a business degree. I just don't have any fear of failure. And it's a superpower to go, I'm going to make the best thing I can. I don't care what it does. I'm just going to put it out there because I think it's the best. And if I think it's the best, then there are people that are going to resonate with that.
And that goes back to teachers branding and making their presence online, because my 9-year-old, today's first day of school. So right before we did this, I dropped her off. Yep. Beautiful process. She's in there. I have the house to myself for the first time in all summer. But she'll come home today because I know her teacher. We've known her for a while now. And she will be like, Miss Morales taught us this.
Yep.
And it's because Miss Morales knew how to do it in a way that excited the kids sitting there to go home and talk about it.
Yep.
So I think that even in a like with school PR, a lot of people are like, yeah, we have these great stories, but we also have 50 to 80% of what we do is just information.
Yeah.
That is still storytelling.
So, you know, I think I can think of a great idea for any teacher to do. And this doesn't even have to be public facing. This could be on one of the back channels that parents get access to. Here's what your child learned today. And literally a teacher could set up their phone in the room, time lapse, take different shots and just say, today we worked on this, then we learned this, and then they got homework that was this. Now, as a person who sent their children to daycare, where I got multiple pictures every day, sending your kid off to school, you lose that connection. You lose that comfort point. So as a parent, if a teacher was sending me on a back channel, here's what your kid learned today, not only would I feel more comfortable, but I'd also have some conversation points to talk to my child about, like, oh, I saw that you learned about Abraham Lincoln today. What? Tell me, let's have a conversation about that. So I could get more involved and then also learn from my child, right? Remembering things we learned in school. So I think that's like a huge opportunity. Here's what your kid learned in school today. And then it's three things. And you would be surprised, I think, at the reaction you'd get from even a time-lapse video with a voiceover. Like, right. I think it would be absolutely incredible.
Well, I can't let you get out of here without at least hitting you with a couple of your own cards. So I have pulled two from the WTF deck. It's a good deck. So you said earlier that your main platform's Instagram, so I'm going to change this one a little bit. But how many times a day do you open Instagram and check Instagram?
You know, way too much. I think Instagram has become this is something I'm working on. I want to daydream more. And I think that the phone and social media has taken daydreaming away from people. And daydreaming is such a powerful thing. And so I would say I probably open Instagram, I mean, at least, you know, 15 or 20 times, which is really awful. It's like a habit that, you know, but a large part of my business and community is on there. So I don't look at it all. I'm not just looking at content. A lot of times I'm having conversations or outreach and posting, things like that. So it is a community for me. So I'm going to give myself that like excuse of why I go onto it so much, but it's definitely an addiction, right? It's designed to get you to keep opening the app, So something I'm definitely working on. And, you know, you can't swim upstream. My therapist said, hey, listen, technology's here. What are you going to do? You know, you can either get a flip phone or you're going to have to learn how to embrace it.
Well, I will say that, you know, you said you're building a community. You're one of the first people that I've reached out to, A, that responded, but B, you responded because I mean, I don't know if you scrolled back when I sent the email, said, hey, I'm gonna shoot my shot. You want to be on my podcast? But we had back and forth for a while before that. And you were one of the first people to, like I said, respond, but also make it a personal thing by recording the voice messages, not just typing.
Yes.
Hey, Justin, you can buy this hat here if you want this hat. Like that was the message. And I was like, oh, he took time to do it. Granted, that is faster than typing.
Yes.
But also it's personal. So I applaud the community you're building. That's obviously how we've connected and how we know each other. So, one more question.
I love people. I just want to say I love people and I love connecting with people. And I think that there's too many people to put up this kind of wall in between them and their community. So I love like you're like, I'm going to shoot my shot. And I was thinking like, it's a no-brainer for me, right? It's a no-brainer to be here.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. So have you ever done something unbelievable only to look around and realize that no one was watching?
Oh, I mean, every day something happens to me that I would say would be like a one in a million. And what I mean by this is, you know, you got belt loops on your pants and you'll walk past a cabinet and it catches perfectly on the handle, which is an annoyance. But I always go, well, there's a one in a million. Like if I tried to do that, there's no way I would ever get, you know, have that happen. Right. Or I mean, every day I think there's just something that happens that's just, if you tried to do it, it would never happen. Now, I watch a lot of these videos on TikTok where people like throw something and they try to get it in a certain thing. And I think that sometimes I think like if they didn't try so hard, it would probably go in all the time, because when you're trying to do something, you're squeezing the life out of it, right? But when you're not, you know, that's when it happens. I would say I have had an experience that was so unbelievable where a lot of people saw it when I was in a touring band. We played at this giant venue, thousands of people in the audience, and I walked up to the microphone to check the mic as a sound check, and I grabbed the microphone with my right hand, and I had my left hand on my guitar, and the stage wasn't powered properly, and it electrocuted me. Like, it not only electrocuted me, but it pulled me in because the current went through one arm, and through the other arm I became a circuit, and it was like this huge wave. I'll never forget this feeling. Huge waves of electricity, like not just like zap out, like it was going through my body, and I was stuck because I couldn't let go of anything. And luckily, finally somebody, and this is in front of thousands of people, so super embarrassing. Finally, somebody pried the microphone out of my hand and they went, ow, you know, and I'm thinking like, ow, I've been stuck here for 15 or 20 seconds. But, you know, that would have been a moment of, if somebody didn't step in and do something, my heart would have popped eventually as the weakest part of the circuit. So I'm very grateful that somebody did something, because it was unbelievable and something that made me a little bit afraid of microphones for a while.
Well, Travis, I appreciate you taking some time this morning to hang out and chat a little bit about what you do. I do think there's quite a few takeaways that we can take away as a school PR community. Yeah. We're going to talk about in the second half of the show today. We're going to actually have a conversation with a school PR professional who's going to listen to our interview, and then we're going to talk about some takeaways. So one more time for everybody listening, how can they find you, connect with you, see your content?
Yeah. So before I do that, I just want to ask your audience one favor. Doing a podcast is a lot of work. You have to find guests. You have to set up the tech. You have to get people to show up. So if you've enjoyed any episode of this podcast, including this one, the number one thing you could do for me is go leave a review. And what I mean by that is Apple and Spotify both have the opportunity to leave a star review and to write something. Now, reviews are the lifeblood of podcast hosts. A simple review can change somebody's outlook on life and the work they're doing. And Justin does such a great job, and he's so dedicated to this show, that if you could just pause this at the end and go leave a review, I know it would make his day, and it would also help other educators be able to find a podcast that's going to help them in the long term. Again, I'm Travis. You can find me on Instagram at Travis Brown. And if you're interested in growing on social media, I actually have a small community called Social Boom, and that's at socialboom.me. And what it is it's an accelerator program and a coaching program and a community for anybody who wants to use social media to impact the world with their message and their passion. So something you can easily check out. It's super affordable, and it's where I spend most of my time helping people learn how to use the best platform in the world, which is Instagram, and share their valuable personal knowledge with the world to make that impact.
Well, thank you so much. This has been great. This is the first episode. So we're building something special this season, where we're going to learn from people who aren't in school PR. And I appreciate you, A, being my guinea pig this year,
hey,
and B, being here just hanging out and doing what you do and encouraging so many people to, you know, take a little risk on Instagram.
Yeah, it's an absolute honor, Justin. Thank you so much for including me in this. And if you ever need a guinea pig, I'm your guy.
Hi, everybody. This is Jim Cummings, APR. I'm a senior strategist with CISO Communications, and this is your CISO top tip for the episode. When it comes to capturing the perfect first day of school or graduation photo, my number one piece of advice, practice, practice, practice. And have I mentioned practice? I learn something new every time I pick up my camera. Practice taking photos in the moment and hone your skills. Bring your camera with you when you're out in the world and take photos of the things that interest you. Take close-up pictures of plants while on a walk, or take candid pictures of your family. If something just looks cool to you, shoot it. Take a lot of photos and recognize that you're going to take a lot of really bad photos, and that's just fine. Every photo you take won't be beautiful. It's through trial and error that you get better and you find the style and approach that interests you. Try, fail, and try again. Have I mentioned practice? For more information on CISO Communications, visit theciso.com or follow us on our social channels. At CISO, we partner with districts as we work together to rethink possible.
All right, welcome back to School PR Happy Hour. And as you know, this is the first episode we have done on the things we can learn from other industries. I spent the first half of this show talking to my good friend Travis Brown, who is an Instagram creator, and talked about storytelling. He talked about, you know, how he creates his content, his workflow, and everything. Well, the way these episodes are going to work is the second half is we're going to bring in a school PR professional to talk about takeaways and things that you can apply into your everyday world from other industries. And when I heard this, when I heard Travis talk, we interviewed him a couple weeks ago, I immediately knew that I needed to get my buddy and multi-time member of the cast member. Well, it's like Saturday Night Live here, but show guest Adam Harris here. I had to have him come in to talk a little bit about what he took away, because a lot of the stuff I heard Travis saying was right up your right up your alley, and I knew you would love this. So, Adam, for the third time, you're working, you're getting close to that Saturday Night Live jacket you get when you come on five times.
Yeah.
So you're getting there. So welcome on. Thanks for being here. How you doing?
It's good to be back, Justin. No, yeah, it's I love talking to you about this stuff. So yeah, thanks for having me again. And Travis was interesting. So let's go.
So, okay. We talked in the pre-record a little bit about the biggest topic you talked about was storytelling and how it doesn't really matter what your niche is, depending on niche, however you say it, what your niche is, there's a story to tell there. And I know, I mean, your title is director of storytelling. So, I mean, it's what you do. And I know this is a passion of yours. So that's, I just wanted to hear what were your takeaways and things that you thought were just like spot on point from Travis on the topic of storytelling.
Yeah, like early on, he said, storytelling is the way that we transmit information between each other. And that is, at its core, the most truthful thing that I could say about storytelling. And I'm glad that he said it like that. Storytelling has become this like buzzword in our industry. And that's kind of been triggering me a little bit, because I don't want it to lose its importance. Generally, buzzwords can be like, hey, you're telling stories, like they can be used to kind of dismiss the importance of what actually is going on. That's why I changed my title from communications coordinator to head of communications and storytelling. Like that is that, because that's what I do. And that's what we're all doing. And we all do it in different ways. We all have different geniuses and tactics on how to do it. Some people write, some people do podcasts, some people do videos, some people take pictures to tell stories. Some people do it through the website. Some people do it through their teachers. We're all telling stories constantly. And there is a story in every single classroom, every single second of every single day. That's true too. So I think that the way you connect with your outside audience and the community that we're talking to, like your entire residents, your entire resident people, everyone in the village that you're representing, you're trying to connect all these people that you don't know with a bunch of people inside these buildings doing things that they don't know about. And you're the middle person. So storytelling is a tool, but it has to be genuine. And so I just want to make sure that it's not losing its luster as we keep talking about it. And then the next thing people are like, is like, how do I tell stories? Like, what do I do? And how I tell stories is going to be different than how you tell stories. But they all need to align with what your district is about. And I think that's really what's important for us too. Like Travis talked a lot about how you create content, and he talked a little bit about like, we need to make sure like we understand what's on the other end of the content. I like starting from passion. That's one difference that I think I had with him. But like the concept of storytelling was so important to me. And I liked that takeaway with him.
One thing I on the storytelling is he said multiple times during that that conversation was, I want to work on getting better at it. But I think if you asked him straight up, Travis, are you good at telling stories? He'd say yes. Right. But I want to get better at it. And I think that's conversations me and you have had offline multiple times about, hey, JD, check out this video. Hey, Adam, check this video I did. How did I do? And we'll talk a little bit and say, yeah, you did great. But it always leads back to, yeah, I'm trying to get better at it. I don't know that, I mean, there's no mastering storytelling, because story is so different for every person, every situation, everything, that if you are going to be a true storyteller, in my opinion, you have to truly be someone who accepts the fact that you're never going to be perfect at it, and you're always going to have to work harder for it, to be better at it every day.
Yeah, and I think that we should all be following what's most easeful for us as we're telling stories. So when it's like, we got to get better at it and we got to work harder at it, all we're doing is we're just growing as storytellers. And that stuff happens really, really naturally if we allow it to. What is your genius and what feels easeful and what lights you up when you think about doing it? And then go do those things. And a lot of what I talk to a lot of people about, and a lot of what I work on giving myself permission to do, is to follow what lights me up and not focus on what feels difficult and I need to get better at and how I need to improve. What is getting better at storytelling mean? I think it means getting deeper in touch with yourself. In order to tell others' stories, you better damn well be able to tell your story 100% accurately. You can't go out there and tell another's if you haven't been able to tell your own to yourself. So it starts with yourself. You need to know yourself so well and be able to tell your story to yourself so well and explore yourself so well that you're able to go out there and tell a stranger's story. And I think that that's how we improve our storytelling, is by learning about ourselves. And I'm not talking about going out and preaching your story. You can just have one person as an audience member of your story, and that's you. But you need to really dive deep into yourself, know yourself well enough that you can walk into a room and understand how to tell your story so you can tell other people's stories. And I think that's what getting better at storytelling is connecting with yourself. And it's so meta and vague, but really, once I started to really dive into myself, I know my passions. I know what lights me up. What lights me up lights other people up. And then you can tell story from there. And I think that in schools, like, what lights me up is like giving kids a voice. So that's what I do. I just give them a voice and it's easeful for me. And I think when we try and go, okay, I should be better at video editing, and then sit there and grind out a video editor. Honestly, like, if that's not your jam, that's not your jam. That was not my jam. Like, JD, that's your jam. I hate editing video. I hate it. But so I was like, okay, so how do I make video without editing video? So I just started grabbing my phone and interviewing kids 2 to 3 minutes, just interviewing them on what they're doing, and then putting it on Facebook and not going to the editor at all, because it's perfect the way it is. And that has generated a lot of content. And that's my way of telling stories.
And that is, you know, that is one thing that in conversations I've had in the last 6 weeks, that's one thing of storytelling that's come up. I think you know that anytime I talk about storytelling, I talk about the nice polished stuff that people do, and then the raw just emotion of and the feelings that you get from an Adam Harris selfie video, where you're just holding that phone up in front of you and you're talking to a kid and the kid says something amazing and your mind's blown and you're just like, it was perfect. I know there are people out there, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this. 'Cause even me personally, as you know, I figured it out the other day, I'm in like year 22 of creating videos. I started in high school. I've been doing video production since I was high school, right? I turned 40 next month. Goodness. But there's people who thrive on putting themselves on projects that make them a little bit uncomfortable. And not in an uncomfortable like, oh, this is awkward, but uncomfortable like, this is a story that I am supposed to tell, but this story is tough. How do you approach and think about those moments in your mind of, this one's a little uncomfortable, but this is an important one that needs to be told?
So it starts with me again. I go internal and I go, okay, yes, I'm feeling uncomfortable. How can I feel most comfortable telling it? Because usually that's the answer. Like, we all have our own internal compass. We all have the answer to every issue out in the world. And you've heard that so many times over and over from, you know, anytime you're in therapy, anytime you're talking to like anyone meta, is like, you know, you have the answer inside you. And that is true. So in these situations, I'm like, okay, like, for example, like when I started this job, there was no blueprint. There was no department. There was no such thing as communications person. And I sat down day one and I was uncomfortable. And there were expectations that I would communicate, but like, what does that even mean? So then you go, okay, what am I most comfortable with? And I was like, I'm most comfortable with audio because I was in radio. So I'm going to start just doing podcasting because that's just what I'm most comfortable with. So when you're in a situation where you're telling a story or a topic that is making you feel not like uncomfortable and like you don't want to tell the story, but you're kind of like, like you said, I want to pay respect to the story. I want to make sure I'm doing it correctly. Those are all insecurities, and you actually have the answer inside you. So then you sit back and you go, okay, like, how would I be most comfortable telling this story? Who do I want to be telling this story? Honestly, it would make me most comfortable if the superintendent's talking, or if this kid's talking, or if we show this, or if we show that. Whatever's making you most comfortable as the storyteller is going to make the audience most comfortable. We have to remember we're the ones creating. And if we're feeling uncomfortable, they're going to feel uncomfortable. Same thing is like, let's say you're watching your own video and you're bored after a minute. The audience can be bored after like 32 seconds because it's your content. So you have to use yourself as a compass, which is what I love about being a creator, is like, I'm the compass that then brings it out to the world, and they are going to feel what I'm feeling because we're all human together.
That's awesome. So
I can't give you a non-meta answer, dude. I can't bring myself from 50,000.
I just needed some Adam Preach into my life there for a moment. So that was for me, not for anybody else. I'll probably edit it out. But another thing Travis talked about, and this was the storytelling aspects we went into, but then when he said something about giving away, I'm air quoting, giving away content for free, because it builds trust. And if you found something that I did that you like, eventually maybe you'll come back and you look at my product. Right after we recorded, I saw something on your Twitter and I thought, you know, this is exactly the school PR version of what Travis said. You have in your district Share Day. Is it correct? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Share 25, right.
So I saw a picture of you helping a teacher learn how to do something on their phone. I couldn't tell from the picture what you were teaching them.
Canva.
But, I'm sorry?
Canva.
So you're teaching Canva. You're teaching them how to share their story from their classroom or share information that's better than just typing. But you're giving your knowledge away for free, but you're building trust with them. And I think the result of that work that you're doing there is those teachers have a relationship with you. They know you by name. They trust you. And when things happen in their classroom that they're so excited about, you're at the top of the list of people they're going to call and say, hey, this kid just did this. You need to come see this. What's your thoughts on that? Just sharing our expertise. And as you say, sharing our genius, and it builds those relationships with people around your district, from superintendents to principals, teachers, all the way down, you know, whoever it is.
My goal whenever I'm talking to anyone, and especially our teachers and our staff, is to help them realize that they have it in them to communicate from a personal place. So my goal is to empower them, like, because I genuinely see every single one of them as like special communicators in their own way. So I'm here to be like, here's a couple tools, here's a couple ways that you can do X, Y, and Z. And the way that works best for you is perfect. And oftentimes I just want to take away their insecurities, because there's one thing teachers should not be and staff members should not be in school districts is insecure about what they're doing and how they're doing it. They need to go up there like they're champs, because they are. And so, yes, when I'm in front of them, I am here to, like, I don't know if I look at it as like giving it away for free. I just love connecting with our teachers. And so anytime I have a chance to get in front of any of them, even for like 3 minutes, all I'm trying to do is show them that I am on their team, like so much so, that if they are having trouble doing anything communication wise, their job's to teach, my job's to help them with that and make it as easeful as possible.
And your job's to move the big rocks.
Yeah, like it's a yes and mentality. Like, there's this one project that a group of teachers are doing at this one middle school. It's called Pride of the Wolfpack. They bring in once a year former students at that middle school that have played college sports or have played like an instrument in college or like whatever, have gone on to do something like that. They bring them back in to talk to the eighth graders and seventh graders and sixth graders at that school. They like to do an intro video for them. So there's normally three of them and they want it to be produced. And they're like, can you help me with that? Yes, 1,000%. Like, first thing we have to do as communication people in the district office is to validate everyone's stuff out there. Yes, validation. Of course, this is so important to them. They're doing this for no other reason than because they appreciate their school. Yes, here's how I can help you. I need you to set up the interviews. I'm going to give you the equipment. Can you record them? Can you collect the content? Send it to me. I will make you a great video, right? They're like, great, cool. Like the yes and in that too, it's like, I just look at like the way we're all pulling weight here in the district. It's like there's no reason that our teachers need to like put together extra stuff like that, you know? They're giving that away for free, but like we should all just be doing what is best for the district. And if I demonstrate that, my colleagues will demonstrate that, teachers will demonstrate that, like, it's this kumbaya thing that I'm after, you know? And so I think it's so valid and they trust me when I yes and like, cause I care. I genuinely care.
And to go back to, you know, we had a former superintendent I worked for that would always use that line that I said, it's moving the big rocks for the teacher in that moment, in that situation with the videos. The big rock is technology and putting it together and making it look cool. You can grab that big rock and move it so that they can come through and share the story and share the passion and just the love for their students through a cool video and a cool kickoff. And all you did was like, yeah, I mean, it's not going to take you incredibly long to edit it. You're good at that. So it's like, hey, let me grab this super insecure thing that you have, this super worry that's going to stop you from doing something cool. Slide it over here. You just come on through with what you got and I'll help you get there. And I just think that is the giving it away for free portion of it. It's, yeah, we're not giving giving away for free sounds kind of a weird way to say it in the education world, but we are doing what we can to build. You've built relationships with those teachers by doing that. They trust you. You took a project they were scared of a little bit and took it and ran with it and made it better. And by that, you know, whenever they have something cool going on their campus, you're on the top of the list of who's going to get a call or an email that says, hey, we've got this going on. Or when there's an issue, or hey, Adam, I'm worried about this. How do I do this? They know who to go to. I just think that is powerful as a whole, because right now teachers are so under fire across the country that they're scared to do anything. Why not have?
That's what I'm saying. People? This stuff, like, they God, like, if we can do anything to help them just go in the classroom and teach kids and connect kids to their learning, like, if we can do anything to help that, that's what we should be doing. 1,000%. 1,000%, no matter what it is. And I believe that from my like chest. And I think like, yeah, like that's what their genius is. So my genius is like, look, do you see how the geniuses like line up perfectly there? Like their genius is creating the story. My genius is telling it. So that's as simple as it needs to be for us.
Well, Adam, I appreciate you as always coming on and doing this show. It seems like anytime I text you immediately, you're like, yeah, buddy, let's talk. And more because we spent 45 minutes before we hit record just talking and hanging out. But that's always the best part of the show for me, is just hanging out afterwards. But thank you for doing this. This is a new idea we had for season 4, was to, you know, stray away from school PR in a couple episodes. But you've helped us bring it right back to the heart of what we do. And that's, you know, connecting with teachers so they can connect with kids. So thank you. As always, how can people get a hold of you if they want to pick your brain and hear about all the easeful things in your life?
Yeah. So aharris@sd25.org is my email. So hit me up via email. And then I'm at aharrissd25 on Twitter. I think what you're doing with this podcast is really cool. I've actually been talking to a few of my colleagues a little bit, where I'm like, I'm sure this can be overwhelming for some people too. I went through Travis's Instagram and it's like, whoa, like from like 5,000 to 90,000 followers in like a month. And I think that I also want to bring people back to earth to be like, okay, we're in schools and people remember that our job isn't corporate. We chose that on purpose. And the advantage of that is if you make something and three people comment on it, that it made their day or it connected them better to your school, that is a win. Like, yep. we can't focus on these numbers. We see all these people going viral. We see all these people creating like content that like goes nuts. And it's like, actually, that's not who we are. We're not selling a product. We're creating connection with our community. And so right there, if we stick to that as communicators, we will not feel overwhelmed as we see social media explode like it's exploding. Stick in your lane, do your thing with your community, and go home, put your pillow on the bed, and be happy with what you did.
Well, there you have it. Another season of School PR Happy Hour is officially on the air. We plan to bring you a few more of these What Can We Learn From episodes throughout this season. If you have an idea or a topic for an episode, please connect with us over on Twitter at SPR Happy Hour. I want to thank Travis and Adam for joining me today and having such great conversations as we kick off this new season and new series. We also want to thank our friends at Class Intercom and CISO for supporting the show. As always, School PR, let's try to be a little better at our jobs every day.